to Bi Plus, podcasting for the Bi Plus universe. I'm Elizabeth Meacham, here with my guest, Fire Sia. Today we are talking to Fire about his book of poetry, The Scent of Flowers. Welcome back, Fire. Could you provide a brief introduction about yourself for those who may have missed the Side B Philippines episode? And if you did miss it, go back and listen to it, because it was a blast. These people are awesome. Fire's awesome, and his co-workers are awesome in his organization. They're all cool. So anyway, welcome. Tell us a bit about yourself.
Hi, Elizabeth, and the Bi Plus universe. I am so happy to be back on this podcast. My name is Fire Sia. I am from the Philippines, and I'm happy to talk about my book today, The Scent of Flowers. I am a bi advocate. I've been in the advocacy for around 2 decades now. It's been quite a long time. And right now I'm with Side B Philippines, and we are an organization that focuses on bi visibility campaigns, so GSC education and employment equality advocacy as well. So thank you so much for having me back.
Welcome back. So you said your site, I looked at your Facebook site. There's a Facebook site for the Scent of Flowers. So anybody out there listening, go to the Facebook site. It's really cool. It's got samples of Fire's work, and pictures of them and everything else. So your site says you are the first openly bi person to write a book in the Philippines, or a book of poetry.
Yep. Actually, I'm the first, openly bisexual person to publish as an openly bisexual person. In the Philippines. It's a book of poetry. It's more of a literary compilation as well. There are a couple of really short essay pieces and some short stories as well. But And it took a long time to write this book.
Well, how's it been received over there, being bisexual? Are people open to it or receptive to it? I mean, what kind of struggles did you face getting the book out?
How's it been received? As far as the reception is concerned, the reception of the book is good, actually. I get some inquiries that are very friendly inquiries. I mean, I haven't gotten bashed, thank God.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's been good so far. A lot of family and friends have been absolutely supportive of this book. It's actually my first one. It's self-published. And the original plan that I had really was not really to put it out in the market, just really to put together a physical book, you know, that that would document some of my history as a person from the LGBTQIA plus community, as a bisexual person. And then, you know, of course, somebody floated the idea of, why don't you go ahead and, you know, distribute a few copies, right? And see how it goes. So I did it. Yeah. And so far it's been great. I did not print like a ton of copies because I just really wanted to get it out there for some folks. But now we're actually looking at a second printing, which is not really a lot, but you know, and we're also looking at some print on demand options as well. But it's pretty good so far. People have been giving feedback. I've been getting messages. I've been getting quotes from my own book, which they have enjoyed.
That's awesome.
So yeah, it's pretty cool. And some people have told me which pieces they like, you know, et cetera there.
So my buddy Mick, he usually does a show with me. He publishes too. And he said that self-publishing is easier in some ways because you're not having to deal with the back and forth with a publisher. And do you plan on, I don't know how it works after that. Like if you self-publish, can a publisher pick up the piece of work? Do you know anything about that? Or do you plan on going to a publisher eventually? Or
In the Philippines, it's possible to get maybe your second edition or even your first edition, actually. Mm-hmm. It's possible to work with a publisher even after you've done your own self-publishing. It's a possibility, but I'm not really looking at that because, I don't know, it's a very personal piece of work. I mean, it's not like I don't want to share. I obviously have a lot of stuff out there. I do. It's really okay, but... I mean, I'm not a writer by profession anymore. Yeah. I used to be. So yeah. I think it's just one of those things that, you know, I wanted to tick off my bucket list that, you know, where I actually got a better deal because people really responded well. But yeah, I mean, if a publisher would like to pick it up, I would happily work with them. But so far, I'm quite happy with the self-published that I did in this first edition.
Let's talk about the book a little bit. How do your sexuality and gender experience present themselves in The Scent of Flowers? What can we look forward to? And was it hard to write about some of these personal experiences? This is a very personal book. How hard was it to do that? I mean, are you kind of the shy type of person that doesn't really want to tell all that, or in general, or are you kind of more open about that?
Well, on the gender and sexuality expression angle, the book, it's written, you know, when I talk about people in the book, and a lot of it is about attraction, a lot of it is about attraction and having the wrong attraction for some people, or perceived wrong attraction, or right attraction, you know, being smitten by some. I actually shift pronouns from, you know, pronouns of the object of that attraction. I shift pronouns from he to she, you know, randomly in the book. I don't have any piece that combines them. So I think that's one of the things that, you know, I would really want to work on in the future. But yeah, but throughout the book, once you, you know, you go breeze through it, you'll notice that there are times when I do talk about a male persona, or talk about a female persona, or I talk about an androgynous persona. Sometimes I do it that way as well. People have told me that the book seems to be very androgynous when it comes to, they don't know what the sexuality of the writer is. And they would tell me, I couldn't figure out if it was written from a male perspective or a female perspective, or, you know, and I'm like, well, I think that that was part of it, because, you know, my journey as a part of the community has been very, very unique. I mean, I've identified as female before, you know, and some of the pieces were written during that time. And then I've identified as gender neutral at some point, and there was a piece that was written at that time, and then, you know, finally, you know, and I'm transgender male, so there are pieces as well that have that little, you know, factor there, but there are also pieces that are a little bit different, like the short, there's a short story here, the title of which is The Scent of Flowers, and it's inside the book, and this one is a little personal to me, because it is my interpretation of one of the childhood experiences of my mother when she was, you know, around kindergarten, and she had a little boy sweetheart when she was very young. So it's a very short story, but this one was the one that got, you know, the most feedback, because it was very, it's very sweet. It's a very sweet story. So it's one of those things, right? It wasn't so hard for me to put together the book per se, at least for a 2020 and 2021 launch, and only because the book took about 2 decades, it's, you know, to be put together itself. So it is definitely a documentation of my journey, of, you know, how I looked at love, how I looked at losing love, gaining love, how I looked at attraction. It was definitely a journey of, you know, how I viewed certain types of relationships as well. So it's, there's no chronological order to the book. I'm going to be very, very clear about that. And also, the book is a little unique in the sense that we don't have page numbers on it. There is a table of contents, which, you know, is really, really just a guide for everyone, but there's no table of contents.
I saw that there were no page numbers on the, when I was looking over the Facebook site. It's like, oh, interesting. Yep. Yeah.
It's a table of contents, but yeah, definitely no page numbers. It's a choose your wild kind of thing. So, yeah. Because, like I said, there's no chronological order. You will never be able to tell which piece was written before the other, unless you know me personally. Sometimes people could tell.
Yeah.
But if you don't, then it's going to be, quite a peek into certain parts of the journey.
But it's kind of about, I mean, I think that's a good way to do it. It just, because we're always, we like to think everything's in a chronicle order, don't we? But things go back and forth and sideways with us, even in our own memories. So it's kind of more personal that way, when you can mix it up and make people guess, but at the same time, it's really more, you know, feelings move around all the time. They don't go from A to B to C.
Yep.
You've done spoken word before. So that's like, you know, standing up in front of people and reading your work. What was that like for you? And what's same, what's different from the experience of writing it, you know, publishing yourself, but published?
So I was pulled into spoken word round about the early, you know, late 1999, 2000s, around that time. And I had absolutely no idea what that was the first time I attended a spoken word session, you know, and I was like, wow, so you just go up there and you, you know, read whatever pieces you have. If there's a theme, then, you know, if you have a piece that matches the theme, then you can do that, right? So I've been trained in public speaking for, you know, since I was young. Weird reason, my mom always, you know, kind of like felt that I could do that. But frankly speaking, I mean, I'm not a very outgoing person. People will think that I am, but truly, I'm actually a very shy person. It takes a lot of guts for me to go up there and, you know, and speak. And whenever I have other speaking engagements, because I, you know, I do educational sessions, right?
Yeah.
I take a ton of time with the preparation. That's one. And, you know, 2000 other breathing exercises before I start talking to people. So there's still that, you know, like that anxiety that I go through even before I go.
Definitely.
So same thing, you know, when I did spoken word, that was exact same thing that would happen to me every single time. But I would read some pieces, especially when I was in theme, and it was fun because you could read the piece in the way that you want to be heard. And I think that that was really the more amazing part of, you know, experiencing spoken word. Because as a writer, when you put a piece out there and it's published, people read it, but they don't really hear your actual voice.
Yeah.
So spoken word gives you a chance to do that. And I did that a long time ago. And then, you know, I got sucked into the corporate world, so kind of stopped for a bit. And then most recently, I was still able to join a couple of spoken word sessions during Pride. And this is pre-pandemic, pre-COVID, but very limited exposure. It's really like, you know, small sessions. And then during the pandemic, it was interesting because I was invited to an online spoken word. So that was cool.
That's cool.
I actually like that.
Yeah.
They asked me to read from the book because they saw that I had a book published out there, and they said, oh, we want you to read from the book. So that was nice. And then in the most recent, I mean, technology is amazing, right? And the most recent office event we had that launched the Pride organization at work, they asked me to again read a piece. And then it was cool because they had me record it. And then they attached it to another, like a video of me. And then one side of the screen was an interpretive dance.
I saw that. Nice. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. You guys have to check out this Facebook page because it's on the Facebook page. I'm going to be talking about this Facebook page. But yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. I thought that was really cool. I didn't know I was wondering about that, if you had something to do with the interpretive dancer or if they just, you know, assigned one. That sounds so official, but you know what I mean. Hired one or whatever they did.
We left it to the artist. So he heard the recording, like he listened to my recording, and then or maybe I should say they listened to my recording, not sure about that.
Yeah. I know it's hard.
They listened to the recording and they put it, you know, they put it together on their own, and it came out really great. And it was one of the cool parts, really, of the, you know, the entertainment part of the launch that we had. It was nice.
Yeah, that's very cool. Oh, okay. You mentioned it's different because you can put your voice behind the poetry. That's what I was kind of wondering about, because, you know, when I've written stuff and it goes out, it comes back different than I intended. Is that something you have to deal with? Does it come back to you and you've had to kind of like correct people and say, no, dude, that's not what I meant?
So far, not really. I wouldn't get that kind of feedback.
Yeah.
There would be times when people would ask me what I actually meant. So
yeah,
like, you know, they wouldn't say that, oh, I thought you meant this, is that right? They would usually ask me, hey, you know, I read this part, and what did you mean by this? You know, was it, you know, and then they would ask him questions about the pieces. And yeah, that's as far as question and answer. In all fairness, yeah, it's interesting that I haven't encountered anyone who's, you know, misinterpreted or interpreted it differently from what I intended. But frankly, Elizabeth, I mean, if somebody interprets it a little bit different in their own way, but, you know, it still spoke to them, right? And it's a positive thing. And that's with me, actually. Yeah. It's okay.
What are your favorite pieces? And are you willing to read anything for us today?
I can, and I would love to do that. Just, I guess, to give folks a sneak peek of, you know, some of maybe one or two of my favorite ones. You know, I can do that. So yeah. Let me know.
Go right ahead.
Okay. The piece I would like to read is called Epilogue. I wrote this around about, you know, maybe roughly five years ago, I'd say, or 6 years ago. Epilogue. There's really nothing much to break. It was already broken. We think that something mends us, that for years we believe how beautiful we have become. But at the exodus of all of this, we realize that not much has changed within our souls. We learned new things. We marveled. We were amazed. But once shattered, the reality remains to be of the strongest memory, and not much of what we thought we have gained. The old ways prevail. We regress. What was broken was always broken. And suddenly we realize that no amount of tenderness or happy endings will truly bring us peace of heart. There's always that one event that will trigger old feelings, guilt, longing, jealousy, so much jealousy. At this point, we are ripped apart, but we don't feel it. Why? Because we know that to live another day, we must be numb. The question lingers, should I stay or stay away? Maybe the time to be alone is now. We lose ourselves in the pair we have become, that we forget who we are without that connection. Without that connection with the person we choose to love, we forget ourselves. A loss always makes us grieve. Whether we leave or are left, we mourn. Whether we end in love or hate, a sadness descends upon us and for an indefinite time. It consumes the space that once was filled with what is called love. We were gold turned into ashes, burnt to disintegrate into the nothingness of fate, cursed from the time one laid eyes on the other, cursed to end in, albeit quite the gentlest note in the turmoil of parting. If you must break my heart, be quick with it. I will continue to live. After all, men have lived with frozen hearts broken and cold by heartless whores. As for us, we were golden, the epitome of an affection that was comfortable and warm. You will break me with love, and it will feel right. It will be right. What a drunkenly beautiful apocalypse. Our world shattered, giving way to a new order of hearts. But when will this new order save us from the hurt? Weeks, months, years, will it even happen? We do not know. We could only want this as much as we desired togetherness, but in the end got nothing. Such is the story of our heartbreak. The most gut-wrenching feeling ever unimaginable by those who remain in innocence. To feel love is to be stripped of one's innocence, as it is the same to feel pain. Was it even wise to say that we will never forget when remembering only brings us more questions? They say the choice is ours, but really it isn't. We can choose to forget, but we will always remember at the smallest reminder. A color, a place, a time, a smell, all reminders of an old and expired happiness. We knew that we had an expiration date. We knew that the clock was ticking, but we went forward. And as we had always known, we were finally faced with no other option but the end. We've stood strong, our strengths drawn from what we then believed mattered the most, love. We'd forgotten that in the end, love is but one of the things that will keep us together. It was never enough. There you go. That is one of them. A little long, but oh, I hope you enjoyed it.
That's really good. So you have a part of that's on the Facebook page, like a snippet of it.
Yes, and it's also at the back of the book as well.
That's probably where I saw it. Yeah, that's because you have the pictures of the book on the page. Wow, that is really good. I mean, it talks about an experience of love, but of life in general too. It's really good. Okay. Wow. Okay, I'm blown away here.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I did.
It's one of the longer ones. One of the longer ones that I have. I'm gonna look for something a little bit shorter and maybe a little bit happier, because that was good. Really a little sad.
It was, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, I made me feel better, honestly.
Yeah, a lot of the pieces I write were written because I was sad.
Yeah,
and I needed an outlet. Yeah. So I mean, I guess. Yeah, pain was a really good motivator for me.
Yeah, I think it's a great way to process pain, writing. And it's a great way to make yourself feel better, because you get it out and it's out, and it's like you have a chance to talk about it, even if it's to yourself on a page. But yeah, it's better than trying to stuff it down all the time.
I know, right?
So at least you've told somebody, you've gotten your chance to speak and express yourself and grieve. So I thought it was cool. Anyway.
Right. Oh, okay. We can go to a second one. This was written maybe around the early 2000s. So I used to be part, just a little bit of a background on it. I used to be part of this group on LiveJournal. So I used to do livejournal.com, which is an online blogging platform. And there was a group there called, I actually forgot, I'm sorry, but there was a group there of poets. And it was cool because you could read poetry from other people and you could respond to their poetry as well. So directly respond to them, you can do that. So there was one person I was exchanging poems with at that time. We don't know each other, really. We didn't know each other's names, but her online presence, and I'm assuming she is a lady because of the way she wrote, and her online presence was named Tabloid. So that's why I have a poem in the book called A Reply to Tabloid, right? And she wrote about meeting strangers. That was the theme, sort of our exchange. And so this is a reply to one of her pieces. I replied to Tabloid. Every day at the train station, I see the same faces, smiling, snickering, wondering faces. I don't know what makes them laugh every time they see me, but maybe it's the way my cheeks turn red the moment I hear the clicking of your heels on the floor and the sounds you make while you chew your gum as you sit yourself beside me. Monday, you were in red, a button-down shirt and a straw hat. Tuesday, you were wearing a brown business suit, pants tightly measured around your waist, and high brown cowhide boots. Wednesday, you were in white pants and a long-sleeved Mexican shirt. Thursday, I was late. I did not see you. Friday, we wore the same color, dark, elegant black. I wonder what you'll wear tomorrow. I wish you'd wear me around you one day, like that gray scarf you drape over your shoulder every time my eye meets your lips. There you go. Really short.
Woo! Okay, really hot. It's hot in here. That was good too. That was cool. And so that's like just watching a stranger Did I get that right? All right.
Yeah. Sort of having a little crush.
Yeah, I know. Stranger crushes. Yeah. Yeah. Those are safe.
Very.
Yeah, very safe. Oh, okay. A little tormenting, though. You know, I got that from the poem, too. You know, it's like, I could just go talk to them, but no. So, yeah. Yeah. Especially for shy people. That's how we do. Okay. You got another one, or can I request one?
You can request one. I didn't realize that you would request one.
Okay,
go
okay,
ahead.
Okay, I know. So that's why I wanted to ask, because I was looking in that poem. I think it's called Moving or something.
That's a good one.
That's a good okay. one. That was talk about hot. Okay, anyway, that's a really good one. I would love to hear the story behind that and hear you read that.
Moving was written, it's one of the more recent ones. When I say recent, this is within the last 5 years or okay. 6 years, something like that. So I had gotten into a relationship before. And the thing with me is most of the relationship I had with specifically women were relationships with straight women. I am what people call a straight chaser. I am a straight chaser, and that's fine. I mean that's really how I operate. It's part of the attraction, yeah. I think. Yeah. So I think that I wrote Moving just because I wanted to affirm that, you know, even if you lose something or someone, you just really have to affirm yourself. Affirm that you love and accept yourself so mm-hmm. that you can move on. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, that was the message. So yeah, I'd be happy to go ahead and read that. Yeah, it's one of the favorites of the crowd.
Yeah, okay. So it's not just me. It's a really good one.
All right. Moving. I will love beyond what I know is love, and that is to love beyond you. I will love beyond the memories crafted through the years, through all things that brought us together, and through all sweet remembrances gifted by time. Now, they must be kept away from peering eyes and bleeding hearts, so that all shall mend in quiet and in silence. My best friend once told me, be in peace, not in pieces. And it's so much easier heard than done. I would love beyond my recollection of our happiest days, the ones where we were free to just be in our element, in the dark spaces we have chosen to spread our light. Those places are now bare of the remnants we thought we left behind, replaced constantly by the reminder that there should be no us. I will love beyond the taste of what was unconditional yet cautious and fearful togetherness, when few were our friends and most were the enemies of our us. Where we feared to trust others outside of who we were, where discovery was not a welcome word, and where we hid from the universe so that only our shadows knew we existed. I will love beyond the insanity of what once was intimate, where with eyes shut, my hands could navigate the maps of your body, point to point, moment to moment, where we could steal time and space to be in each other's arms. I will love beyond what this lifetime has given us. Beyond all dreams I once forged with you. Beyond all hope to a life without longing and towards a life where I could truly be me. I will love beyond all that was you and I and beyond what once was us. I will now love me. Moving.
Yeah, that's an awesome one. That touches on so many things. It touches on like the queer experience and also just loving and losing and moving on. I love it.
Yeah. Cool. That was, thank you. It's one of my favorites as well. I'm happy I put it in the book.
Yeah, I'm happy to put it in the book too. That one just like stood out from the page, like on the Facebook. It was like, wow, this is like, so much. And I don't think the whole thing's on, again, I think it's just a snippet of the poem that's on there, but it's so interesting because I think your poetry, it's deep. It's not just about, it doesn't ever seem about one thing. It's like when you talk about something, you're talking about the whole experience instead of just one part of it. Like here you talk about the whole experience of love, like loving somebody and being a queer person in love with somebody and losing them, not just about part A, part B, or C. So it's really cool. It's very, a lot of depth to your poetry, which is why I like it. So.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. I haven't, you know, I haven't even analyzed my own stuff.
So oh, yeah.
It's nice to hear.
So you're hearing a lot of it. Yeah. Did you have any other ones? Or are you about read out?
There are a couple of maybe trying to see what else I can read that's not going to be too heavy. Or
no, you know what? Don't worry about it. I think people need that experience of too heavy or too light or whatever. You're a well-rounded person. It's who you are. If you have any more, let us hear it. You don't have to read the whole book, of course.
Oh, it's quite a lot. So, well, actually, not really, but yeah, still, it's quite a lot.
Yeah, I know there's no page numbers. How big is the book?
Oh, you know, it's not that big. It's actually quite slim. There you go. You can see it. Yeah. Around my estimate, you know, I had forgotten. I used to know the exact page count, but maybe about a little bit less than 50.
Okay.
Pages, yeah, for the book, and that's 50 pages with print on it. I mean, including everything else, like a good writer friend of mine wrote the foreword to it, and then I also put in the last piece here was actually a love letter I wrote to my partner. And it was one of her favorite letters because when we weren't together yet, because we didn't live together. So, you know, I would only see her when I would see her. Mm-hmm. And we used to work together. So we didn't really get the chance to talk a lot because we were in the workplace. So I would write her a letter every now and then, you know, just to check in and stuff. And there was one letter that she really loved that stood out. So I actually wrote her that letter and, you know, put it in the book. And it was actually quite nice. So maybe I can read a little bit from it. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's rather long. Okay. But I will go ahead and read one of the first parts and the last part. Okay. Just so that, you know, people could get a gist of it. The title of this is Dear CC. CC, that those are her first nickname initials. Her name is Cuckoo. So, and Cuckoo in the nice sense. but yeah, so let me go ahead.
That's what my husband says. I am. You're crazy, but in the nice way, in a fun way. I hope so.
Yeah, when she introduces herself to people whose, you know, first language is English, she would always say, my name doesn't mean I'm crazy. It's actually C-O-O-C-O-O, so it's not the other spelling.
Okay, cool. Yeah. All right.
Sure. Okay, so I'll read one part. I'll just append it a bit because it's long, but here we go. Okay. Dear Cece, today I come to you with what I have to offer. I'm not an expert, nor can I claim that my experiences have made me the perfect partner, but I come with only what I have and what I give. I will be your friend through your triumphs and your challenges. I will not judge you, but I will support you in the way that will help you keep your chin up to stay proud of who you are. Love is not easy. Much needs to be done to make it work. It is the catalyst between pain and joy, a bridge that unites emotions and leads us to where we could be. I will learn your love language as you learn mine, and we will use this to join what is the same and understand what is different. We will support each other, knowing how each reacts to different acts of love. I will bear my heart and my soul to you if you would have what is left of me. I am not the perfect partner, but I will strive to love you perfectly. Fire.
You just have like such a great understanding about love. I love it because it's like, your poems aren't like the sickly sweet things you find in Hallmark cards. Not that I'm bashing Hallmark, who, you know, they're in this town. That's just where Hallmark is based.
Really?
Yeah, awesome. There's, they actually have a factory here in Lawrence. Yeah, not bashing you, Hallmark, but you know, it's like greeting card, sickly sweet, you know, drippy stuff. Yours isn't. It's like a realistic look at love. Like, you know, you, it's real. It feels real to me when in immature when I hear your poetry. Not false promises, you know what I mean? Like, there's all that stuff in that you read, like teenagers write, and it's just unrealistic, it's idealistic. Yours is very down to earth, and I love it. This is good. I got to get this book. I got to get my hands on this book. But again, the Facebook page, if you want some good samples, you got to hit up the Facebook page. So that's where you can see it. Where can you buy this book? How do we get our hands on this book?
So my primary distribution currently is in the Philippines. It's coffee table size, so it's rather petite, you know. But there is an online version that is available on lulu.com. It's a print on demand service basically that okay. I'm using. Some people have gotten it through there. If you get it through lulu.com, you will get a different size.
Okay.
So it's going to be twice the size of what I have now. It's rather large.
Yeah.
Something to do with the formatting, you know, that was done for Lulu. But well, the fonts are bigger, so it's mm-hmm. easier to read. The original version, the fonts are a little small. So suggest that you get the online version because it will be a lot easier to read. And it's a print on demand. So anywhere you are in the world, all you need to do is search The Scent of Flowers on lulu.com. And there are specifications on the size of the book there and how much it will, you know, be, what the investment will be basically when you order it from them and it will be shipped to you. So I actually did a self-order to test the, mm-hmm. you know, the site, and it was amazing. It actually, you know, sent me my book.
Okay.
So I was very happy about that. And it sent me the big size, which is cool.
Yeah.
Some people like it, the big size. So they order through there. I have a shipment of the book that will go out to North America in September.
Okay.
It's going to go out to Los Angeles to my mom. So some copies are going to be distributed through there as well,
okay.
through that channel. Yep. That would be about around about mid-September.
Okay, cool.
By month.
Good. Okay. And then how do we order that, through your mom or through you, and then you tell your mom, or?
Yeah, so what's going to happen is it's still through the Facebook page. So
okay.
You can send a private message to the Facebook page. Let me know where you are. If you are in North America, the US, or Canada, then most probably, and if you want the smaller original version of the book, then it will arrive in Los Angeles by mid-September, and I can have it arranged through there.
Okay, so the Facebook page.
Yeah, I take PayPal, so internationally I do take PayPal, so that's gonna be a lot easier, and then we can ship it out after, you know, whatever online transaction we have.
Yeah.
You know, but the thing is, I won't be able to sign it since it's going to come from there already by that time.
Okay. Well, you know, you could sign them before you send them to your mom.
I know, right? I can do that. Well,
right.
What I actually
Did
meant
I just
was
give more, you
more of like,
work. I'm sorry.
Oh no. What I actually meant was really more of like, some people like a message.
Oh yeah, yeah, personal message. Yeah.
Sometimes they like a message, so that I won't be able to do. But
yeah,
I actually do sign the copies of the first release of the book. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Is there like an online Kindle version or things like that? Or is it just like electronic version?
Oh, you know what? We're actually working on that. I am working with a layout person who helps me with these online thingamajigs.
Okay.
I don't do it myself because I have absolutely no idea
yeah.
how to do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm working with somebody and yeah, trying to see if we can release it by end of year, at least the online version.
Okay, mm-hmm. When these things happen, let us know. We'll put it up on our page too, so and help spread the word.
Awesome.
This is an excellent book, and I enjoy talking to you. You are an amazing amazing person. Do you have any upcoming promotional events in the Philippines? Do you do readings or things like that? Anything coming up online that to promote your book or?
Well, nothing much for now, because we've done a lot of the initial promotions at the start of the year. And I am working on a reprint, a black and white reprint of the book. So now it's printed in full color. But really, that was really for the maiden sort of like pilot issue that, you know, we wanted to release. And then we will be releasing a black and white version or a black print version of the book, essentially. Yeah. So that's going to go out around about end of the year, maybe quarter four, together with an online Kindle version that we're working on. But nothing specific to the book so far, just really some updates every now and then on the page that we have. And when, you know, if people invite me over to read some pieces and all, then I'm happy to do that. So I do that. I'm thinking of coming out with maybe another recording of some of the pieces. And, you know, frankly speaking, I'm also trying to see if I can come out with sort of like a second edition, not the second edition, that would be the same book, but more of like a second book. By 2021. So that's sort of like in my head right now. Been getting some, you know, inquiries over when are you doing your second one? You know, are you going to release a second one? And I'm like, do I need another 2 decades to write the second
one? Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's something I'm thinking about, and hopefully, you know, let's see what happens in 2021.
Yeah, that's the danger of being good at what you do with writing, is people want more. Do you find it harder to promote the book or to write it? Was it harder to write? I mean, because you wrote it and now you're promoting it. Which is harder work for you?
The harder work was really the selection of the writing for this first book.
Yeah.
Writing it per se, I think I would not say it was difficult, because I wrote a lot of things, you know, in the past 20 years, and I just really chose what I felt would go into this first book. So it was the choosing that was interesting. That was a little bit difficult, actually.
Okay.
I mean, there was some writing that I felt was a little, you know, I guess not print worthy for now.
Yeah,
you know, you go through that stuff.
Well, especially,
you know,
when it's personal, it's like, do I want to put this out there for everybody, you know? Or,
well, you know, sometimes people might read it and think that, oh my god, is this about me? Was I being stalked?
Yeah, great. Are you still god. In love with me?
Oh my god. Yeah, that's why I always tell people that, you know, a lot of the things are really just inspired by my own experiences. Some are actually inspired by experiences of other people that, you know, that resonated with me, because maybe we had a similar experience and I decided to, you know, immortalize that through the writing. I mean, for example, the other short story here in the book, the title is Month's Ends, and that's a random title really, but it is really about you know, two people who have fallen in love eventually, and then a little bit about one person's journey through that experience of falling in love with this person and spending their life with this person. It is actually a rough interpretation of the story of my lesbian aunt. I had a lesbian aunt who has unfortunately passed away, because they were at that age that, you know, I guess life was great to them already, and decided it was time to go. But this was actually part of their story, and how she met her partner during a time that their relationship wasn't quite, how could I say that? Let's put it this way. This was maybe around the 50s. Yeah, so
that's not acceptable back then, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't really show in the actual story, but it is my tribute to them.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, because I feel like they were a huge part of, you know, our history as LGBTQIA people, and that part of their story, you know, should be out there as well.
Yeah, yeah. That's really cool. It sounds like you were born into a really cool family. And are they supportive or is it like kind of like, okay, dad? Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, they are supportive. I am fortunate that my family is supportive. Hey, but you know what? Like all other, like not all, sorry, but like yeah. other people, you know, who are LGBTQIA+, frankly, it wasn't always that way.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So we all grew into this journey together. Yeah. We all grew into the understanding of what was going on, not only with me, but mm-hmm. also with my other family members who are also LGBTQIA. We are a ton.
Yeah.
Yeah, there aren't few, there are a lot.
Yeah,
that's and it was fun. Cool. Yeah, yeah, because we all grew together into the understanding and into the love, into the love of family. So yeah. It was an interesting experience for all of us.
That is very cool. The best to your family. I wish the best to you. Once again, this is Fire Sia, and thank you, Fire, for joining us today. And the book is The Scent of Flowers. Yeah, thanks. This has been great. I love you guys. It's whatever you guys have going on, just let me know. We got to get you on again. I'm Elizabeth Meacham. Remember, there's a whole Bi Plus universe ready to embrace you. Reach out and find your community.